Actually, I've been in the States for I came in earlier this year because the schedule changed, and it's a good thing. God always does marvelous things because my passport was full. And I came through Albuquerque one day on my way to do other things so I could order my passport. And praise the Lord, it came yesterday. I thought it was going to be 6 weeks. I was counting days, you know, okay, Lord, how am I going to do this? I had two empty pages, and if I'd had four more weeks out, because I wasn't scheduled to come in until the middle of December. So God just took care of that situation. It was wonderful. So that was a real blessing yesterday when I got home. The mail came, and there was my passport. I want to tell you that one of the most recent things, this has nothing to do with CEF, but I think it will just bless your hearts. Last week I was at our home office in Warrenton, Missouri. So I flew from St. Louis yesterday through Dallas. And when I got to my gate in Dallas, all of a sudden there was this band and drums and clanging cymbals and people and people and people. And I thought, what's happening? It was Sinise, what's his name? Gary Sinise Foundation, and it was for the children of the fallen warriors, and it was right by my gate. And you know what they did? They had a lady sing the national anthem, God Bless America, and they prayed in the middle of the airport. I thought it was absolutely the most marvelous thing. It was just wonderful. And American Airlines charters planes to fly the children and whoever's going with them to Orlando, Florida for Disney World. But right there at the airport singing God Bless America and praying. I thought it was wonderful. Anyway, that has nothing to do with CEF, but it does have to do with our country. And I was just thrilled that I got to see something so rewarding for our country. Now, when I came up here, you notice I carried my little fish, because I'm going to tell you a fish story this morning. This is where I carry my camera in. And this little fish has had lots of, it's been doing the fishing instead of getting caught. So I'm going to tell you a couple things real quick, and then I'm going to show you some pictures. We'll see where my time goes. What time by that clock am I supposed to end? 10:15. Okay. We were in Nauru. We've been working in several of the countries. Up here you see Pacific Island CMI 2018. That was in Fiji. And then this year we've been going to all those island countries to follow up, because they have to teach under supervision. So Nauru was one of those countries. Nauru is a teeny tiny little island in the Pacific. If you look on the map, they're just dots. These places are just dots. Oh, and by the way, I don't want to forget to tell you this. I was sitting beside my regional director at our conference, and he said the Pacific Island region, because of the ocean and the vastness, 40% of the land water mass of the world is Asia Pacific. That's where I work. 40%. Is that exciting? Anyway, so we went to Nauru, and we were there, I guess, just 1 week, but we had a long weekend because the airlines changed their schedule. You know, you don't know, and you get into situations. So on the Saturday, we were not flying, and the lady arranged for us to take a boat trip around the island. Now, doesn't take very long because you can drive around the island in 40 minutes. By the way, when I got there at 1 a.m. in the morning, they came in, put some keys in my hand, and said, "You're driving, the truck's out there." I said, "Oh, you drive on the other side of the road and sit on the other side of the vehicle, and it's 1 a.m. in the morning, and we have just been on a long trip, and I'm going to drive in a place I have never been." But it was fun. I loved it. Anyway, so she arranged this boat ride for us. And it was raining. It was pouring. And I'd had a bad case of sinus, and I thought, do I dare go? And I thought, oh, I can't miss it. She arranged it because I love the water so much. So I went, and we hadn't gotten out very far, and the young man, the one who, it was like a little fishing boat, so it was a fisherman and his helper, and she said to us, they want to listen to the gospel. So we went around the island, we came back, and I wanted a picture of us soaking wet from our boat ride. And after I took the picture, the worker said, now is it a good time to tell the wordless book story? And so we said, sure. So I looked at Chona, my helper, and I said, Chona, you do it. She looked at me, she said, no, you do it. Well, we didn't have a Bible, we didn't have a wordless book, but I had my fish. And if you know the wordless book, you all know the wordless book? It has all the colors, green, black, red, yellow, white. They're all here. So I used my fish and told the gospel story, sitting on the water, rocking on waves, and these two men received the Lord. Wow. What an ending to the week. Then I was in Marshall Islands. We were there for 1 week. Now, I don't know how many of you know the Pacific well, but if you go to the Marshall Islands, you have to island hop. And so we were finished with our week, and we were standing in line at the airport to get on the plane to fly to Manila to fly back to Indonesia. But to do that, you have to go, and I don't know if I'll get them in the right order, Kwajalein, Kasserai, Panape, Chuuk, Guam, and I may have left one out. Just little islands. One is a base, an American base. Anyway, I'm standing in line to get my boarding pass, and I look down and it says, middle seat. I said, oh, no, I cannot sit still. I do not sit still. I have never sat still. I can't stand middle seats. And this was the middle of the plane. I said, oh, Lord, please, please, please. I'm begging the Lord. Give me a window seat when I get up there. Well, when I got to the counter, she said, sorry, there's no seats. Well, in the meantime, we had seen a group of children come in. Maybe 9, 10, 11, 12-year-old children, whole group of them, and they were getting on our plane. So I got on the plane, and I sat in my middle seat, and pretty soon the man that was with all these children came, and he sat by the window. At that moment, I didn't know that he was the man with all the children, I think. So we're sitting there, the plane I thought was loaded, and I looked in front of him, and that window seat was empty. So when the flight attendant came, I said, would it be possible for me to move to that window seat? And she said, oh, there's still a few more people to come. I think it's going to be taken. So in my frame of mind, I tell my seatmates, oh, I just need a window seat so bad because I just can't sit still. And this young man, now, he's a Marshallese, and they're not real small. And he said, I'll sit in the middle. I said, you will? I wasn't saying it so he would change. I was just, you know, talking. He said, sure. So we all got out, and I went in first, and he came in second, and the lady on the end came in next. And he sat there a few minutes, and he said, I'm going to go to the back and sit with the kids. So he got up, and he sent a girl up, 10 years old, to sit in that seat. So I told her the wordless book story, using my fish, because my Bible and everything was up on top. And she received the Lord. So she sat between us two ladies. The one was a doctor from the Philippines, and I was missionary, and she sat there. When we got to Chuuk, the last island before Guam, I think she was tired of adults. She said, I'm going to go back and sit with the kids, with the other children. And so they sent up a young boy. So when he sat down, I said, okay, Lord, I get another opportunity. But my first question was, do you go to church? And he said, yes, I go to the Mormon church. And I said, okay, Lord, now where do I go from here? What do I do? What do I say? And I prayed and I prayed and I said, Lord, give me an idea. How do start again. Because you can't say, you know, you can't go to the Mormon church. This isn't right. You need to do, you don't do that. So I asked the Lord, what do I do? And I thought, okay, he's a boy, fishing. I could tell my fisherman story about hearing the story of Jesus with my fish. So I pulled out my little fish again, and I said, you know, I have a wonderful story about this little fish. Would you like to hear it? He said, yes. So I told him the Wordless Book story, and he received the Lord. Now, these kids, just imagine this. They are from this teeny tiny island, not even the main Marshallese Island, one of the little ones. And they are going to Tokyo on a student exchange. Now, if you were from a tiny island and you were going to Tokyo, how would you feel? So I said to both of them, I said, are you scared? They said, oh, yes, we're so scared. So I told, when you tell the Wordless Book story, you end with promises in Hebrews. I will never leave you. The Lord is my helper. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. So I said to both of them, now, when you get to Tokyo, you don't need to be afraid, because the Lord is with you, and he will not leave you, and he will help you. So the boy, I just asked before we got off, I said, now, are you going to be scared in Tokyo anymore? He said, no, he said, and his eyes just sparkled. He said, I'm just going to pray, and I'm not going to be afraid. Is that beautiful? So this fish has quite a story. It's God's story. We need to go into all the world to become fishers of men. But my fish reversed the process. And I just love the stories, because you don't know what God's going to use, when he's going to do it, and how he's going to do it. Now, when we were on our way to Nauru, now I'm going to back up and tell you what happened. We had to land in Ponape and change planes. It's not easy to get to any of these islands, but this one was from Guam to Ponape to Nauru. But when we got to Ponape, it was about midnight, almost midnight. And I was in front of Chona. Chona's the one that I'm training to take my place. And I gave him my passport, and I said, we're just in transit. We're leaving very soon. And he said, no, you're not. He said, they canceled that flight. It's not until 5 p.m. And we were planning on 5 a.m. And it is now midnight in a little tiny airport in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. So they said, you're going to have to go out quick. Get out. The airport's going to shut down. Maybe you could still get a taxi and you could get into town. So we got out, and on the way out, another man met us, and he said, you know, there's a hotel just up the road. You go here and here, and you go up there, and there's a hotel. And I said, can we take our carts with us, with our luggage? There's no way we could. He said, you can walk. We said, can we take our luggage? He said, sure. But we didn't really know where this hotel was, and it was pretty dark. So I said, Chona, you sit and watch the luggage. I'll go see if I can find the hotel. So I walked out of the airport parking lot, and I was walking up this street, and the further I went, the darker it got. And the darker it got, I began to think, oh, anybody could be hiding in the shadows. They could jump out and get me. And all I could see in front of me was a chain link fence. I thought, I don't see a hotel up there. I better just go back. We'll just have to sit in the airport all night. And it's outside. We would have sat with the mosquitoes, et cetera, et cetera. So I got back to the parking lot, and I'm walking in, and a car followed me in. And I just kept walking, and I got up, and the car parked. And I could see inside it was two ladies. So I knocked on their window. I said, can you tell me if there's a hotel up there? They said, ah, just get in. We'll take you to town. I said, but my co-workers there in the airport. They said, never mind. And they were from the customs. And they must have, I don't know, but they must have seen me go out. And they must, you know, everybody in a tiny airport pretty much knows everything. And they said, we'll go get her. So they drove around to get up to the airport, and I just kept cutting across the parking lot. And they said, let's see if we can find that hotel first. So we went. It was closed. Not for good, for the night. They close at night. So they took us to town. First hotel we went to, closed for the night. Next one we went to, closed for the night. Finally, we found one. It was still open, and it had one room available. One bed, one room. We said, we'll take it. And the problem with all this, it was Easter Sunday. So I said, is there a church close by? They said, nothing you can walk to. So we spent Easter Sunday morning in a hotel in an island where we were stranded. But, you know, God is so good. And because of all this change in scheduling, when we got to Kiribati, so we went from, when we finally got on the plane, we flew to Nauru, from Nauru to Kiribati. Well, when we got to Kiribati, we were not able to do the supervising we thought. Instead, the lady from the main church there that's in charge of youth and things, she wrote and said, we have 40 young people who have just graduated from seminary. Would you be willing to teach them? So we taught these seminary students. Now, over there, pastors are even, if they teach Sunday school, anything they do in the church. So a lot of them were women, but some were young men, and some were even a little bit older. We said, sure. So we taught these 40 people. Then, because the plane schedules were all changed, instead of flying on Saturday like we were supposed to, we had to fly Sunday afternoon. So Sunday morning, we divided all of our students up into groups, and we sent them out. We didn't do it. The lady in charge did it. And she arranged for all of these students to teach children. And they have big buildings, and the sides are open, et cetera, et cetera. And so they just divide the children in little groups. And our students went and talked to them. In my group, there was about 100 to 200 children. The other church, there was quite a few. That morning, we talked to about 300 children. Not us. They speak their language. But one of the ladies afterwards said, oh, she said, that's the first time the children have sat and listened. And we taught them how to teach the Bible lesson, how to teach songs, how to teach a memory verse. So that was pretty exciting to see what God was doing. And it's all because of all this airline change that all of these things happened. God is so good. He is in control of everything. Now, just real quickly, I'm going to show you some pictures. This is the islands. Is there a little laser beam thing on here? This one. Aha. So I'm just going to tell you the countries that are represented in this picture. This is Tonga from Philippines, but she works, this is Tess in Tonga from the Philippines. She's the missionary there. This lady is from, that's Barbara from Papua New Guinea. This is Sinai from Kiribati. This is me from USA. This is a lady from Marshall Islands. And this one is from Samoa. This one is from Tuvalu, but she lives in she lives in Nauru. And this one is a Fijian. This lady is also from Nauru. This is from Solomon Islands, New Zealand missionary, Korean missionary in New Zealand. John Mark is from Vanuatu, another Korean missionary in Fiji. And this is the gal that I'm training to take my place, Chona, from the Philippines. How's that for a representation from? And that's islands. Okay, let's see if this does well. Okay, which way advances?
Arrow on the right.
Arrow on the right. Okay. Pardon? I'm not very smart when it comes to equipment.
This one.
Yeah, I hit that. That's what I hit.
See if Nathan can get it kick-started.
Aha.
There we go.
Okay, here is Guam. So when we have these classes, they might be small, but at least we're getting people trained and getting them ready to teach children. So this is Guam. We had a small class, and this one we were actually doing TC2. The new director I trained in the Philippines. This is the Marshall Islands that I've been talking about. And this young man at the top up here works with the Salvation Army. But he is a super kid. He just has such a burden for children. This is Tuvalu. Now, I haven't talked about Tuvalu yet. We don't have a worker there yet. But Tess from Tonga, from the Philippines, island people know everybody. And she has lived there for 24, 25 years. So she knows people. She makes contacts. So we went in, and the three of us came together, and we had a meeting, and they just brought in people from around the island. Then it was Saturday morning, and it was time to leave. But Tess says, we're going to go teach the children first. And she arranged one of the churches to bring the children. In the islands, you can do anything at any time. And she just arranged for the children to come on Saturday morning. So this is the children. And a lot of the people, students that we'd had up here, were here. But the funny thing is, we were staying at a hotel, and they were supposed to send the man who was our driver to take us to the airport, and he was supposed to bring us here. He didn't show up. So we're here trying to get to this church where the children are waiting for us, and we can't get there. So finally, they brought in two motorcycles. Well, actually, I guess they brought three. And we got on the back of the motorcycle, and we rode off to the children. And we thought the man with the car was going to come. He still didn't come. So we had to come back on the motorcycle to where we were staying. And the man I was sitting behind was a pastor, retired, I think. And he has such a burden. He says, we've got to get CEF material in here. I want to start a bookstore. Now, I'm not the one to follow up those kind of things, but it's just exciting what God does. So that was Tuvalu. Then, here is Nauru. This is Good News Club. Look at all those children. And they have just made this place specifically for them. They call it the slum area. And if you go there, you will know why. But our leader lives there, and her husband is he's way up in government. And they just live there amongst the people, and they teach them. And this is the group that we had in Nauru to teach. So it was pretty exciting. Then this is Kiribati. So these are the 40 pastors that I was telling you about. And here's one of the groups of children. That's just one. And then we divided them out amongst the building. Now, this one was the year before. The first one we followed up was Vanuatu. So this was TCE in Vanuatu. And it was an exciting, exciting class. So I think that brings us back to our picture. Now, let's go to that next PowerPoint. You know, because I travel so much and I go so many places, and this year I have been 24 countries. Some of them I've gone back to. Taiwan, Indonesia, I went back. And Thailand went twice. But every time you go into a country, you count 24 times. And that's about double what I usually do. So I was tired. And God just gave us an extra 4 weeks at the end of this year. And we are thankful because I needed to get my passport, and Chonan in the Philippines, things run a little slower in the medical world, and she needed some medical checkups and things because she was having some problems. So God just rearranges the schedule. But real quickly, and I'm going to fly through the first part of these, but I just want to, there's a question. Where are the people? Where are the people? Well, this is Asia Pacific. This is when the big tsunami hit Japan. This is when, it's been too long, can't remember. This is when the Malaysia airline went down. Remember that Malaysia airline that was never found, children on board? I think this bottom one is a typhoon, and the next one is the tsunami up above it. And this was the ferry that went down in South Korea with 250 children on board all died. And this is Indonesia, and they have so many volcanoes that erupt. And so where are these people? When they died, where did they go? They, most of them do not know the Lord. So our purpose is to go into all these lands and teach the people. But those are the languages. People ask me, do you learn the language? And I said, oh, I can't. There are 17 major languages. That's major. If you start counting the dialects, I mean, just Papua New Guinea itself has something like 6,000. Anyway, so there's the major, major. Now, I'm just going to go, this just shows you some of the countries. So there's Australia, and you can see some of the people, some of the land. And Australia has animals that other places don't have. And there's the little Joey in his mother's pouch. And Tasmanian devil. Have you ever seen a Tasmanian devil? Yeah, there he is. And here's a little wombat and the koala. It's fun just to go there and see all the things. And these are just some of the classes and some of the children. When the children go to school in Australia, and I think New Zealand as well, they have to wear hats because the sun is so hot. So part of their school uniform is hats. And if they're outside, they wear the hats. They don't wear them in the classroom, but outside they have to wear these hats. Brunei is a rich, rich country. But it's a very closed country. We do have a missionary that goes in there. But this is the only picture I have to show you from Brunei. I have to be very careful. This is one of the big mosques there. Cambodia, the old city. Oh, it went on its own for a minute. We had a new building go up there. Before the building, I would go to class by motorcycle. And they prayed that building up. 8 stories. Wonderful. We go there and have class. That'll be where I start the year next year. And these are some of the students, just young people. And you know, I think I told you that I'm on my way to retirement, but I'm not getting there because Grace here said, Jan, please, please, before you retire, train the rest of my young people for CMI. I said, okay. So you see some of those young people, they're wonderful. And the children, they're gorgeous. This is the Great Wall of China, and a lot is happening in China. Can't tell you a lot about China. I mean, I could tell you a lot about China, but I can't tell you a lot about China. I will tell you this much. Children under 18 are not allowed in church, and they are going into churches. They're you just can't imagine what's happening in China. I was scheduled to go there. That's one of the countries that canceled because she said it's too dangerous for me to come. The food you eat, they have all kinds of food. And the one on the top, I ate, and it's live octopus, and it was still wiggling. They said, chew it good, or it'll clamp on your throat, and you'll choke to death. I said, I'll chew it good. I don't like octopus alive, raw, or cooked. I just should not eat octopus, but they give it to me once in a while. This was when I was sick in China, and it's just because I made this several years ago. And this bottom picture, and I don't know, I probably showed you this a long time ago, but I always laugh when I see this because they had, this is me. These are my 4 helpers carrying me to an ambulance, and I always feel like the paralyzed man in the stories, and we tell them to the children all the time. It always makes me think about this, but this is how God took care of me, the nurses, the doctors, and God's grace. These are some of our students. I won't leave it there long. Kind of have to protect China, and our worker there is very, very careful. Fiji, land of sugar cane, and they burn the things off. It's also Hindu and Indian, so you have the Fijian and the Indian. And first CMI we had up in the mountains, and it was cold. You think of Fiji, and you think of tropical. But it was cold. You see, I'm wrapped up with a hot water bottle just to study at night because I'd get so cold. The children, you see the mix there, Indian and Fijian. Guam, actually part of the U.S., however you call it, but it comes under our region. Hong Kong, big city. Getting bigger and fighting for their democracy. If you keep up with the news, And it's really kind of sad. I was there during the changeover, and they were supposed to have the freedoms and things they want, but now they're being taken from them. And so the young people are fighting. Lots of classes we have there, lots of children just hearing the gospel. Indonesia, this is right outside our classroom door, and the rice fields, and we eat a lot of fish. But it's a beautiful place. Indonesia is a big country and many islands. Those are some of the islands I've been to, and these are some more of the islands I've been to. And this is Jakarta itself. Big, big, big. And some of the children. The one up here in the corner, this gal met me at the airport when I flew in the first time to Biak, Indonesia. And there was somebody there with Lays, and I thought, wow, there must be somebody important on this airplane, because I was just looking out this little window and seeing all, and they were right at the steps out of the plane. And guess who that important person was? I couldn't believe it. They were there to greet me. And this little girl, that's a bird of paradise, and it was just lovely. Some of these other children are beggars. These are beggars. These are the little Muslim children on their way to school. Very diverse country. Japan, beautiful country. Japan is high-tech, Buddhist, and very hard to reach the people. The churches are very small, and sometimes pastors are afraid because they think, oh, you're going to take the people from our church. This is Korea. Korea is beautiful. Spring, autumn, it's beautiful. Lots and lots of people, they come for training. This is the first year that I have not gone to Korea. And they were doing other things this year and we didn't. So that's another reason I'm home early, because usually I'm there up until the end. And some of the children. Macau, another big city island, and big lighthouse there in the middle. Portuguese egg tarts, one of the best things in the world. If you ever see a Portuguese egg tart, you try it. They're delicious. And sometimes when I'm in Macau, it's cold there too. You see me sitting up there in the corner? I've got a coat on, a blanket on, and I've got my feet in a suitcase on top of a hot water bottle. Because they don't have heat. And January and February gets so cold. But God is good. And some of the children, Malaysia, we just have a new director there, and that's where I came in from. My last stop was Malaysia. You have to be so careful in Malaysia, because you can't talk to the Muslims or you'll be proselytizing and go to prison. So you just trust God. Mongolia is most like my home of any place I go. It's high and it's dry. I'm from Colorado. Colorado is my where I grew up. And it's high and it's dry and it's cold. But many times the temperature in Colorado Springs and Mongolia are almost the same. But the other day I looked and they weren't. It was minus 10 in Mongolia. And usually there at the end of the year. This is the rest stop. You see there's nothing but a three-sided shack with planks on the floor, and that's where you rest and hope that nobody walks in front and hope that you can get back up. Oops, I'm going to go back to that one. Camels, reindeer, horses, falcons, well, so many things. You see some of the older people in their dress. They eat a different kind of food. It's very fatty. It's very meaty. And they like the fat because it keeps them warm. Keeps them warm. So when I'm there, I eat a lot of fatty food. It's good. I like it. One time my bed was two little benches put together. I slept there. And the children, they are very much like Navajos. I may have told you this somewhere along the way. But the first time I went, I said, whoa. Their gares face east. They have the round face, the ruddy cheeks, the almost the same tonal language. They talk gutturally in their throat. So much like the Navajo Indian. Myanmar, and just before I came in was showing me Myanmar. We had our regional conference there, and just for your encouragement, we do have a Christian in the government now. He's the second vice president, and he was at church that Sunday morning when we went to church, but the leader there now is, they're having real problems, so you can learn more about that later, but pray for Myanmar. It was a nationalistic country, and if they take the ruler, the leader out now, it will go back to being that nationalistic country. And it's very difficult. The people, poor. That church in the middle, this is the Judson church, and this is the Bible. And Adoniram Judson was such a part of getting that translated. And 300,000 Baptist believers in Myanmar right now. And many of our workers trace their Christian heritage back to Adoniram Judson. Is that exciting? What missionaries do and how God works. If we're up north, I either go by motorbike or I walk across that crooked little bridge. I always laughed and always thought of that poem. There was a crooked man that walked a crooked mile. Yeah. It never did fall down, so I'm glad it stayed up. They have 68 full-time workers now in Myanmar. A land where they couldn't even go out of their country when I first started. And it was the hardest place for me to get into. Now, they are all across their land, and they are reaching children. They have one Good News Club in a cemetery and one in a garbage dump, because that's where the children are. New Zealand, oh, it's a beautiful, beautiful part of the world. And again, right now we don't have a leader there. It's very difficult in some of these places. Maori children and white children. Papua New Guinea, that's the little church where my sister goes, and beautiful country, rainy, you still get stuck. One of my favorite stories is about, please send someone to tell me, it's about a little boy in Papua New Guinea that prayed for 3 years, not knowing he was praying. All he knew was bad spirits. And he thought, if there are bad spirits, there must be a good spirit. And for 3 years, he prayed, please send someone to tell me about you. And a missionary from Australia came, then a missionary from America came. And when the story was written, he was still teaching his people. Okay. I'm trying to hurry. It doesn't want to hurry. This is a bilum. This is what they carry their babies in. You see, this is a baby, and when the baby goes to sleep, they just hang them up on a peg. Pretty nice. It's just like a nice big hammock. Can enjoy. Palau, another little island there in the Pacific, and lots of work going on in Palau. We have a missionary there full-time. You see the children. Philippines. Again, Philippines has many islands like Indonesia. I wanted to ride a carabao. I like to ride animals. But every time, so they got this one. See those big horns? And every time I'd start to get close, she would, they said, I don't think we better let you on this animal. So I didn't get to ride. This is durian down in the corner, and I got to stop in 2 minutes here. This is durian. Anybody know what durian is? It smells like dirty socks. And it is slimy. And I don't like it. But the people love it. They eat durian. They just love their durian. Oops, wrong one. Mindanao, we were to have CMI there this year. That's another place that canceled. And we were not able to go. But we've trained lots and lots of people. And the young gal that, well, she's not young. She's younger than me, and I'm training her to be the regional education director when I leave. Begging children, working children, happy children. They are happy. Saipan, and if you go into some of these islands, there's so much history from the war. These two ladies on this end, whoops, go back. These two ladies are police women, and they said, we want to do more than arrest people. We want to know how to tell them about Jesus. See those beautiful children? Samoa, We were there this summer. And very interesting country. Very, very much, it's one of the better, cleaner countries in the islands. And this is another island of the Samoan Islands. None of them are just one. Singapore, another big city. And we have had lots of work in a Chinese seminary where we train the people from China to go back into China to train their people. And we've trained, we just had 50 young people learning how to teach young people, JYC, Junior Youth Challenge. Solomon Islands, love the Solomon Islands. That's real gold, but that gold mine has been shut down. Things are not real good economy-wise in the Solomon Islands. But cute, cute kids. Blondies. They have blonde hair. Taiwan, another Chinese country. And I think we'll have to, well, let's go through Thailand. Then we'll have to stop there. Thailand, a beautiful, beautiful country. Actually, up where I took that picture, the queen mother, has a place that she has built. And I discovered something that I did not know. China lost one of its wars because everybody was on opium. And opium, so she has opened that so people would understand how horrible opium is and what it does to you. But I did not know that about, they lost a war because the men couldn't fight. They were hooked on opium and they just lay in, it's a terrible thing. So that's what you get in some of the countries overseas. The long-necked Karen tribe, they call them long-necked, but what happens, they put these rings on their necks, they add a new one every year, and the one, this lady, it weighs about 40 pounds. And if they would take it off, their neck would snap and they would die because their neck bone has become accustomed to being held up by these gold rings. Very interesting. And then, of course, you got Bangkok, the big city. Again, it's a Buddhist country. Very difficult. Thailand and Japan. Very difficult. Because of small churches and Buddhism all around you. And you see all the gods and all the Buddhists and everything that's going on. But CF's been there a long time and doing great things. One of my favorite pictures, we'll stop with this one, is this young boy having an ice cream sandwich. That's a hot dog bun filled with ice cream. And I was taking my walk. I said, oh, can I take your picture? So that's what I do. I go from country to country. I'm training the adults to train their people to teach the children. So every country is pretty much the same. I'm really a supervisor mostly and helping and guiding. And God just does great and mighty things. It's been a wonderful year. It's been a busy year. And I'm just thankful God gave me a little break at the end and that my passport is ready for me to go again. It was about this thick. Now it's only like this. I knew it. God is good. Thank you for praying and supporting and just being there with me every step of the way, because without you, I couldn't be in all of these countries. God is so good. Yes. Well, that would have been Tess, yes. The one that I showed you in the picture, she does not look Filipino. She is Filipino, but she's big like the Tongans because she lives there. And in the islands, people travel between the islands and they marry and they have. So she just knows people. And so Reese Kaufman, our president, talked to me one day and he said, who could help us in these islands? And I said, Tess, she's the one. She knows the people, and the people love her because she's so island-like. She's not Filipino-like. She is island-like. And they love her. They respect her, and she's able to make contacts. We brought them to CMI, and then we were doing the follow-up. We have a little bit more to do in Tuvalu and Kiribati. They need some more things to happen. But God does it. But we have willing people. Oh, you want me to tell you about this? It is, It started in the bone at the base of my thumb, and I thought it was gout. I have gout, so I took my gout medicine, and it didn't do a thing. I said, it's not gout. And then it just kept getting worse and worse. I said, ah, it's my tendon. Every time I was going to class, I'd hold an ice water bottle against my wrist. My first morning here, I told you I came through one day, and I was just getting dressed, and oh, it snapped, and it hurt so bad. I said, Lucy, I think I've got to go to urgent care. And so I did, but the doctor on duty could not shoot me in the tendon, and it's got to have a shot in the tendon. And she referred me to osteos, but I wasn't here. I just was passing through because I came to get my passport and see the eye doctor. And so I couldn't. I said, I'll just go to my doctor. He can shoot me. But my appointment's not until December 19th. That's next week, I think, finally. So they put this brace on because if I move it wrong, it pulls that tendon and it's just like fire. So I just have been sporting this lovely brace. This hand is almost worse than this hand, but this one's a whole different problem. So do pray. Pray that when I get to my doctor, he can figure out these go numb and they hurt and they almost unusable. And typing is, I haven't done a Christmas letter. I haven't done thank yous. I just can't. I do the basic things and I go. So God is good. He brought me home to get this brace. I went to the doctor in Malaysia. He gave me arthritis medicine and medicine to rub on it and said, if it doesn't get better, you'll have to have an x-ray. Well, they x-rayed it over there. She was afraid of a broken bone, but it's not. It's just the tendon. The easy word is trigger finger. And I know about that because I had trigger thumb. And that's why I knew what was going on here because I could feel it. I could feel the tendon slip when I move it. And I go, ow! And say, thank you, God. Thank you all. Thank you, Pastor.